The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
I was going to step up and help her finish it, but I thought she might cry more, so I thought I'd better not do that. And then I thought, you know, that's neat, to have a heart that's broken for souls. And I think that's what it was. Instead of finding out that her husband brought 2 dozen more than her, I really think it was probably the burden that she has for souls rather than the burden for her husband buying more than she did. And I think I want to do something. And so let's do this. Brother Yao, can you drive a bus tomorrow night for the teenagers? Can you do that? How about let's have teen soul winning tomorrow night? Let me be in charge of it, and I'll make you a deal. We'll go out soul winning, and we'll hit a parking lot. We'll have a good time with that, and if you show up and come soul winning after soul winning, I'll take you and treat you to ice cream. But that's for teenagers only. Okay, and so don't jump out, if you will. Now, I do need a couple of chaperones. A lot of our people are on spring break, as you can tell. Our attendance is slightly down, and so I need give me about 2 couples at least that would go. Couples. So, Joe, you're going to come anyway. You're a youth worker. We want the youth workers to come. But can I? Okay. So, all right, 1 and 2. Give me 1 more couple that could come. I'll treat you to, thank you so much. And I'll treat you to ice cream too, okay? My wife will be there and she'll make sure that I do the ice cream thing, okay? Now, look at James chapter 4, if you will. And we have been studying the Holy Spirit. I have taught on the Holy Spirit and God's Word, the Holy Spirit and regeneration, the Holy Spirit and our prayer life, the Holy Spirit in control, the Holy Spirit and His anointing, the Holy Spirit and conviction, the Holy Spirit and singing, the Holy Spirit and Christian liberty. Now tonight I want to speak on the Holy Spirit and your personal schedule. Here in James, as I'll read it again for emphasis sake, James chapter 4 and verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Again, I believe that is giving us that which is a picture of the brevity of life. Psalm 37 and verse 23, the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That the life which I now live, I live, watch it now, by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As we think about the Holy Spirit tonight and your personal schedule, it's very good that you schedule personal time for God to be able to work not just in you, but through you. Every day that passes, we're reminded of the brevity of life. As we go to bed each night, it reminds us of that which is death. And as God gives us a morning and we get up in the morning, it reminds us that we have a fresh day, a resurrected day, if you will. As we spend our life, the youth would be that which would identify the morning time. The midlife would talk about that or would identify with the noontime. The declining years, if you would please, the sunset. And then we all will eventually sleep. And so, as we think about the brevity of life, and we think about how every day should be a very important day, there's some scriptures that comes to mind, such as Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. The Bible says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you know it well. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then we see over in Psalm 17 and verse 15, the Bible says, as for me, I will, it says, behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. And so the Bible over and over reminds us of how we're supposed to not just walk in the image of God, but we are supposed to do those things that are characteristic to that which is God Himself. The Bible commands us to be filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 18, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So how is it that we can prepare ourselves to be filled with the Spirit? Let me give you some noteworthy notes tonight. Statement number one, schedule a daily time to yield to the Holy Spirit. Schedule a daily time to yield to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31, he says, "I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord." Here's what Paul said, "I die daily." And so there needs to come a time in our life throughout the day when we die to that which is our selfish desires. We die to those things that, if you would please, would draw us further away from God than those things that would draw us closer to God. You know, I found it very advisable to yield to the Holy Spirit when rising in the morning. Perhaps you want to do it immediately upon rising in the morning. After breakfast, in the midday, maybe after lunch, maybe after the mid-afternoon, after dinner, before retiring in the evening time. But have designated times when you yourself consciously are aware of the fact and you go through that which is the activity of yielding yourself to that which is the power and the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can do this simply by picking out certain times, that is, times where you yield yourself. In other words, you identify with yielding to the Holy Spirit because at certain times relatively that you're doing something already, you put them together and it helps you to be able to be mindful about doing it on a continual basis. By the way, the more you yield to Him, the more He'll change your life. That's a good place to say amen. The more you yield to Him, the more He'll change your life. All right. Statement number two, a schedule. And we're talking about scheduling. Okay. Schedule set times to ask Him to lead you to those who need help. You know, we don't become conscientious of people that need help as much as He is already aware of those that need help. So yield yourself to Him to the point and to the place where you become conscientious about the people that need help. The Samaritan has a wonderful example of that. Over in the book of Luke chapter 10 and verse 33, the Bible says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed," it says, "came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." So he didn't just pass by like the priest. He did just not pass by, if you would please, like the do-gooder, if you will, the Levite. He did not just pass by. He was somebody that stopped, that saw, and moved in to be able to help and to meet a need. I think God brought that across his path. I think God made him consciously aware of that. And I'm telling you that nobody knows other people's needs more than God and the Holy Ghost. And so as you yield yourself to God, here's what God does, is God brings those people to your remembrance. Okay, it's good to practice that in the morning time as you yield to the Holy Spirit. Also at that time, say, "Dear Father, help me to be consciously aware of those people that I come across today that needs my help more than somebody else." And by the way, He is very good to do that because God loves His children. And God wants all of His children to receive the help that they need. And who better could help one of His children than one of His other children? Somebody that's connected to God Himself. All right, statement number three, ask for the Holy Spirit power regularly. Ask for the Holy Spirit power regularly. Over in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, the Bible says, "And when they had prayed," this is in the upper room, of course, "and when they had prayed, the place was shaken." Now, when was the place shaken? It was after they prayed. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Here's what I find out. Some of the boldest soul winners that I know are those that are filled with the Holy Ghost. They're bold. Why? Because there's nothing to fear. They're walking with the one that's the Almighty. Why would you fear if you're walking with the one that's the Almighty? And so these Christians constantly, I find, that have God's power are always continually praying and asking God to fill them. You might want to put some reminders around. If you walk into my bathroom, you'll see there's two signs there. Number one, it says, pray for God's power. Number two, it says, pray for God's wisdom. For many years in the various Bibles that I use, there's a little note card there. It says, pray for God's power, pray for God's wisdom. You'll find on my desk there in the corner, there's a 3x5 card that reminds me. If you go in my truck, you'll see that there is a place right there as you open up that middle cabinet, and I'll pull it out in the morning time on a regular basis to remind me to pray for God's power and to pray for God's wisdom. Put things in your path that remind you. You know why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you're flesh, just like I'm flesh. You know, and if we're not reminded of spiritual, now nobody has to remind us to eat. Nobody has to remind us to do the pleasurable things. But we do need to be reminded of doing the spiritual things. I said a schedule. We're talking about schedule now and your personal life. But schedule time to be with God and let God work in your life and allow the Holy Spirit to have control. Schedule a daily time to yield to the Holy Spirit. Schedule set times to ask Him to lead you to those that need your help. Ask God for the Holy Spirit power regularly. Statement number next, schedule specific times to pray and ask God for His power. Specific times. The Bible talks about in Luke chapter 9 and verse 18, the Bible says, and it came to pass when He was alone praying. Now, by the way, let me just stop there for just a moment. I have prayed with many preachers before a church service. Many times when I'm preaching off, they'll have prayer meetings before the revival takes place that night. And we'll all go in a room, and we maybe we'll take a few prayer requests, and we all pray. And oftentimes the pastor will say, "Okay, brother so and so, will you start us?" And brother so and so, would you pray next? And you pray next. And so, would you close? And they'll get three or four people to pray, and they pray out loud, and they don't just pray for the church service. They might pray for the different needs that was mentioned there just shortly before the prayer service took place. But I find this out. That we become a little bit more sincere, a little bit more personable when we meet with God by ourselves. Because it's during those times that you begin to pour your heart out, and even you pour your heart out to God about things that nobody else knows about, and maybe you're somebody that just needs God to be able to remind you of things throughout the day, and as you do that, God lovingly does so. It might be that you could allow 15 minutes a day just to pray for God's power. Just to pray for God's power. Get alone with God. By the way, every teenager needs God's power. Every adult needs God's power. How can you be the daddy that you ought to be without God's power? How can you be the mama you ought to be without God's power? How can you be the husband or the wife that you ought to be without God being in control and leading you? I think we miss a lot of blessings because we do not yield. Statement number next, schedule at least 15 minutes a day for Bible reading. Now, I'm saying that that's a minimum. I'm saying that's a good start. That's a good start. I'm always reminded of the young person that came up to me and said, Pastor, I feel like I've failed. He said, I've read only 52 or 54 chapters in the Bible this year, and I feel like a complete, utter failure. And I said, I'm kind of proud of you, to be honest. You know, reading 54 chapters in your Bible is more probably than the average Christian does. So I'm proud of you. I wouldn't kick yourself in the rear too much. You know, I thank God you've read that. Now, I think you ought to pick it up. Maybe you ought to shoot for 56 next year. Maybe you ought to shoot for reading at least the Gospels through. maybe ought to shoot for reading the New Testament through. But see, here, I think sometimes, and don't get me wrong, I'm for Bible reading. I am. I read my Bible. I mean, I'm in 1 Chronicles right now, and I'm reading my Bible, and I love reading the Bible. Not necessarily 1 Chronicles, but I love reading my Bible. But can I tell you this? Can I tell you, in Bible reading, sometimes if we're not careful, we will read it through just to get through without it reading us through. It would be far better for you to slow down and let God get a hold of you and make a life change inside of you than to just read it through to say, man, I can check that baby off. I got that done this year. All right, and so here's what we see. We see schedule at least 15 minutes where you can get into your Bible reading. Now stick to it strictly. Have a time, have a place. Okay, I'm going to compliment my wife. We've been married almost 35 years. I cannot remember one day in her life where I did not see her in the morning time in her sacred place with her Bible reading and meeting with God. I can't remember one time. Now, I'm thankful for that because she walks with God so much, she can keep me straight. But I am saying this. I'm saying I'm sure that that has had a great play in our great marriage relationship. She doesn't get easily offended. When I pick on her, she doesn't get upset. She just finds a way around it to come back and dish it out. All right? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying schedule at least 15 minutes a day to read your Bible. Statement number next. Schedule weekly times. Weekly times when you're alone and you plead for God's power or for the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Set some weekly times when you're alone, when you're alone, when you're alone. You can walk with God better alone. And so schedule some times alone when you can plead for that power. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, the Bible says, and when he had sent, it says, the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. All right? And so our Lord spent a lot of time alone. Stop looking for the praise of men and look how to be close to God. Men will come and men will go. I know when I got saved, you know, and I was taught eternal life, and I got it and understand it and received Christ as Savior, I'm going to heaven. You don't have to doubt about where your pastor's going to go when he dies. But can I tell you, I was not really prepared to see some of the people that I looked up to that held great faith in their life and did great things for God. I was not really prepared in my heart to see them go. It was almost like seeing a family member go. And I would weep and I would cry and I was brokenhearted and broken inside. Now, can I say this? Can I say during those times is times where God will allow some devastations in your life to bring you to a place where you understand the importance of walking alone with Him. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3, the Bible says, for I will pour, it says, water, it says, upon him that is thirsty, and the floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessings upon thine offspring. Now, what's that talking about? That's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, so God says this. God says that I have this power to be able to give you. And by the way, every teacher ought to want that. Every preacher ought to want that. Every choir member ought to want that. Every junior church worker ought to want that. Every youth leader ought to want that. Every single person, no matter what your leadership role or position is, ought to want that, because God and God alone can be able to give you that and would use you in a more powerful way. So get alone with God and plead for the power of the Holy Spirit. Statement number seven, schedule a 24-hour period a week when you can fast and pray. One of the best things you'll ever do in your life, my dear friend, is to schedule time to meet with God in an unusual way. It would not hurt any person in here to take one day a week and just fast and pray and ask God to use you in your family, in your business, in your church, in your personal life in an unusual way. The Bible speaks of such in Isaiah chapter 58. Remember, I taught through preaching one night about there's a day that God says when you fast and pray that He'll change many things. And I used Isaiah chapter 58 to show you that on that day that I preached about a day of fasting and prayer could change your life. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 5, the Bible says, is it such a fast that I have chosen? Listen, it says a day. Now watch that for emphasis' sake. A day, it says, for a man to afflict his soul. It is to bow down his head, it says, in the bulrush, and to spread the sackcloth of ashes under him. Now that's speaking of humility is what that's speaking of. Wilt thou call this a fast? Now watch it, an acceptable day to the Lord. So God says, not only is this a good idea, this is very acceptable. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? It says to loose the bands of wickedness. You have any wickedness that's gotten a hold of you? I mean, deep down in your heart, you know it. Nobody else knows it. Things that you struggle with. The Bible says to loose the bands of wickedness and to undo the heavy burdens. You got any burdens? Would you classify any of those burdens that you do have as heavy? Something that is heavier than just something that's easy to bear. It says, undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free. It says that you break every yoke. I've seen people do this. They have trouble trying to stop smoking. But because of fasting and prayer, they get victory when all else has failed. I've seen people that's had marriage problems, but they fast and pray together and God heals the marriage. I've seen people that have a rebellious teenager that doesn't want to give an allegiance to God and doesn't want to serve God, and all of a sudden mom and daddy get a burden for that teenager and they take it to God, and God breaks that teenager out of their personal bondage. Why? Because God sees that mom and daddy are now serious about it. The Bible talks about that time of fasting and prayer. Mark chapter 9 and verse 29, the Bible says, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. There is some things that God says that I will not do unless you pray and fast about it. I won't do it. I won't do it. Now, may I say that you may choose different times. You can choose like 6 o'clock, maybe one night to 6 o'clock the next night. That's pretty easy. You could do this. You could choose maybe from noon one day to noon the next day. You don't have to wake up in the morning and say, okay, this is what, and it be an agonizing thing. By the way, can I tell you that once you get used to something like that, you'll find out that it's easier done than only spoken about it. Here's what I said. I said, schedule a daily time to yield to the Holy Spirit. I said, schedule set times to ask Him to lead you to those that need your help. I said, ask God for the Holy Spirit power regularly. Schedule specific times to be able to pray and ask God for His power. Schedule at least 15 minutes a day for Bible reading. Schedule weekly times when you can get alone and plead for God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Schedule one 24-hour period a week where you can fast and pray. Now, I'm telling you, especially if you're facing the hard things in your life. Then lastly, you know, throughout the day, ask the Holy Spirit to help you and to lead you in your everyday tasks. By the way, the more that you do that, the more that you will find that God will point out things that you did not see that helps you to get things done better, more expedient, more wisely than you ever saw before. So turn to God and ask God throughout the day, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to lead you, if you will, help you and lead you throughout your everyday task. The Bible says in Psalm 23 and verse 2, the Bible says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Listen to the rest of it. You know it well. He leadeth me, leadeth me, leadeth me, leadeth me, leadeth me beside the still waters. He's the one that can lead you beside the still waters, but only if you're willing to follow. Psalm 23 and verse 3, the Bible says, He restoreth my soul. He, here it is, leadeth me. It says, in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Again, what's He doing? He's leading us. But we have to be one that brings ourselves completely under His control so that He has the ability to be able to lead us. Can I ask you, how much, not how much of God do you have, but how much of you does God have? How much of you does God have? Well, I tell you what, I'm giving God my life. Are you? In order to give Him your life, you have to give Him your time. Because life is comprised of time. So my question is, how much time are you giving Him? Well, you understand, Brother Wells, I'm a Christian worker. I didn't ask what your professional type of faith was. I'm asking about you as an individual. How much of you does God have? Does He have all of you? Well, He's got most of me until I get home. Well, don't you think He wants you at home too? Well, He's got most of me until I get in Dallas traffic. Don't you think you could handle Dallas traffic better if He had more of you? Well, He's got most of me until I go home and face my husband, face my wife, face my kids, face my neighbor's dog. Don't you think He could help you better if He had more of you? Ask Him to lead you. Well, you could even ask Him to lead you as you go shopping. Some of you men could pray for your wife that way. You know, you could ask Him to lead you as you drive to work. You know, how often do you say, now, Lord, I'm getting ready to leave the house, and I always take this route, but now if you don't want me to take that route, you let me know, and I'm not going to take that route. You'd be amazed how God can use your yieldedness. Ma Sunday used to get very irritated at Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday, a phenomenal preacher in his day. But she used to get so irritated at Billy Sunday. She said because one minute he'd be holding a conversation with me, and almost in the very same breath, he'd be talking to God. And for just a little short amount of time, I couldn't figure out who he's talking to. Well, you know, maybe that is not something that should be so different. Maybe that is something that should be standard. I had a friend of mine became a pastor, and he said, man, nobody comes soul winning. Nobody. He said, I pushed it. They're good people. He said, but they just didn't get it. He said, so for 1 year I preached it, and for 1 year I pushed it, and for 1 year nobody would respond. He said, every Thursday night I'd go get in my vehicle and I'd go by myself. And then he said, I got lonely. He said, I got depressed. And then I realized that I'm not really alone. He said, so I know people kind of thought that I was stupid. He said, but I don't care because they already had their thoughts about me anyway. He said, so I would go out and I'd open the door and say, dear Father, this is for you to sit beside me tonight. I'd get in my car and I'd weep and say, dear Lord, I know that I've been wrong about this because I've been complaining all this long time that I was going by myself and I didn't realize you were right there with me. How stupid am I? He began to be thankful. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? He began to be thankful. And he said, the more that I begin to be thankful, He said, the more I enjoyed going soul winning with the Lord, to the point that when somebody did show up, I was kind of disappointed. He said, but then the church started to grow because, he said, that man caught my desire. And another man, and then some women started showing up. You know, that dear brother has a great church today. He's been there for over 30 years, but you know, he's got a great church today. And I think it all started because he was in the secret place. Just think, if you got in the secret place, how God could change your marriage. Just think, if you got in the secret place, how God could change your personal life. Just think how God could change your family and the very outcome of the way your family's going to turn out because you met with God, you walked with God, you yielded to God, and God said, okay, it's you and me. And I think that's what God wants. Father, help us, I pray, would you?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.